I'm Marty Moscowane. Welcome to Radio Times. SEPTA serves the Philadelphia region, transporting a million riders on buses, subways, trolleys, and regional rail every workday, fewer on the weekends. According to a recent Pew study, about a quarter of the city's residents use public transportation to go to work. Tens of thousands of commuters from the suburbs take the train to get to their jobs. SEPTA is the fifth largest public transit system in the country, and it's been changing, launching the SEPTA Key, its smart fare system, redesigning the bus network, overhauling its aging trolleys. And now SEPTA has a new general manager who will be overseeing these projects and spearheading some new ones. Former PennDOT Secretary Leslie Richards took the subway to join us in the studio today to talk about her plans to bring the Transit Authority up to date and to create a more equitable, more user-friendly transportation system for the region. And Leslie Richards, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
And to our listeners, we posted some things yesterday on Facebook, but you can certainly join our conversation. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. You can tweet us at @WHYYRadioTimes, and you can call us. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You are a planner. You are not an engineer. What does that bring to this job?
Sure. What it brings is really taking a broad look, looking at our system as a network, not just rail, not just buses, not just subways and trolleys, but a network where people may have to take one mode, then shift to another. How do they walk? How do they access that system? You know, how does it impact their quality of life? How does it bring about economic development changes? And how does it impact businesses as well? And so just looking at that broader look, what's the importance to employers as well as to the people who live in the SEPTA-served region? And I'm really looking forward to with some of the large projects you just mentioned.
Well, and I want to get to all of those. But I've done a number of shows about SEPTA over the years, and it's always been described as a system that has really good bones. I mean, the bones are there. It's making the system work that seems to be the problem.
Absolutely. It's a legacy system, which means it's one of the older systems here in the United States. A lot of the system was built before cars developed, right? So as we know, Philadelphia, some of the streets are very narrow because they also were built for horses and not for cars. Some of our bridges were built when rail only existed, and we didn't have bridges for cars to travel over. And so there's the challenge to keep that system in a state of good repair. Obviously, we have a lot of vehicles now and cars on the system. Now, and even though they may have not existed when the original system was designed and built, they're part of our transportation network now. And so we have to make this older system work well with current conditions. And that's why we want to modernize. And again, with SEPTA Key and the other projects that you mentioned, we want to make sure that SEPTA is the right system for today in 2020, not just in 1960.
Well, and you've got 2050 to think about, too.
Absolutely.
Right? I've been taking regional rail. I used to take buses. I take regional rail now. And I have to say, there are conductors who really know how this system works. And they complain a lot. I mean, you know, if I talk to them, they'll tell me what they think. I know you've spoken to a number of SEPTA employees. There are about 10,000 of them about the system. What have they told you? What do they tell you about how to improve it?
I have. And I'm very pleased that a lot of the employees have been willing to come up to me. They tell us what we're doing well, but they also share with me challenges they've had and ideas that they have to make the system better. So we are listening. In fact, we're implementing a new employee tool that will allow employees of SEPTA to submit ideas so that our senior team can take a look at them and figure out which ones are appropriate to follow up on now, which ones we may not be able to do. And of course, we'll explain that. Maybe it's the age of our system or maybe there's another reason. And take a look and start to develop them together. And so we want to make sure we get all of those ideas together. That's very important. But I'm always listening. Mm-hmm. And I have seen that we have a very talented and dedicated workforce. And I'm very pleased to see that many of them come in every day and see how can we be better. And so they've given it a lot of thought. And we're interested in those ideas.
Any ideas that you thought, wow, that's a good one?
Just connectivity ideas that we're hearing, you know, how people board the bus or how they board the train. We're listening to that as well. You know, as you know, our conductors, you probably see it on the regional rail, they have a very difficult job, right? They have to
hard.
Make sure sure people get on, they get off, they have to collect the tickets at the same time, they have to answer questions sometimes. When things are not going well, they have to make sure that everyone's calm and understands what is going on. So they are constantly, surveying their surroundings and figuring out how can they best serve the customers. Again, I feel, very optimistic. The majority of them that I've met want to do better and want to figure out how to better support each other, as well as make sure that, customer experience is very important to them. And we know that we're in the customer service business. We're in the people business. And luckily, they want to find ways how we can improve.
How much is money the root of SEPTA's problems? Getting more money for the system, whether it's just maintaining what we have, but also thinking about modernizing it in the future.
Yeah. Look, funding is always the big piece of the equation. You can only do so much with limited resources. And SEPTA has very limited resources. We are operating with half the amount of money in our capital budget than our sister agencies in Chicago and Boston and Washington. Those communities have chosen to fund their systems well over $1 billion just in their capital program. Mm. And here we are at SEPTA doing the best we can with a capital budget of about $700 million. Again, half of what they have. And we've been able to provide a service. I'm biased, of course, but I would say equal, if not better, than those systems. And so I think it's been quite remarkable on what we've been able to do with the limited resources that we have. But funding is a big piece of my job right now, letting everybody know what we're doing with the resources we currently have and what we could do if we were given the resources that we need to truly bring this system into modern times.
Why, though, would anyone in Pittsburgh or outside of the SEPTA region here, why would they care about what happens in southeastern Pennsylvania?
Sure. Well, we know that southeastern Pennsylvania is a big economic driver. We've heard those statistics over and over again, that over 40% of tax money comes out of this part of Pennsylvania. And so the rest of the rest of the Commonwealth should care about that, right? Because that money gets spread out, generated here, gets spread out elsewhere. If SEPTA did not function at the highest of its capabilities, the congestion here would be so catastrophic that I don't think the state agencies would have a choice to spread money out anywhere else. They would have to be constantly dealing with the issues here. It would just be total gridlock. It would amount to billions of dollars lost with the economy. Think of the ports, how busy they are. Think of the trucking industry, how they have to pass through this area. All of that extra congestion would impact not just the rest of the Commonwealth, but the rest of the country. And so we have to make sure that we move as many people as safely and efficiently as possible in any transportation network. We do that best here in southeastern Pennsylvania.
How much more money, in a perfect world, how much more money would SEPTA need then to be the system that you want it to be?
I think we need to invest like our other legacy systems. I'd like to see our capital budget get to over $1 billion. Mm-hmm. In my last job as PennDOT secretary, I was discussing to the General Assembly that currently we invest over $400 million a year, but we truly need to invest between $800 and $900 million a year. And that's for all of transit to function appropriately so seniors and people with disabilities can get around. Every county in the Commonwealth has transit, and people forget that, even rural areas. And for rural areas, it's often their only option. So when they can't get to where they need to go, whether it's medical appointments, whether it's to the grocery store, whether it's something to impact their daily life to work, they have no other option. So they are truly stranded. But as we know, we have to keep everybody moving. It is what I would call the backbone of any transportation network. And so everyone needs to be concerned about it. And without a healthy transit network in southeastern Pennsylvania, the rest of the transportation network throughout the Commonwealth truly suffers.
Well, speaking of money, how much is SEPTA considering a fare increase?
Those discussions are happening right now. As you know, I'm on the job about 4 weeks, and so I'm being given data and seeing. We visit the transit fare increase every 3 years. This will be the third year, so it's expected. We need more money to function, so it's a balance. And so we're taking a look and seeing what is it that we need. Of course, we also want to be mindful and sensitive to our riders, right? And we want to make sure that it isn't too much of a burden on them either. So there's that balance, right? We know where the need is, but we also want to make sure that our riders, you know, understand it and that it's fair to them as well.
Well, as we all know, this is the poorest large city in the country. So you've got people who need to take public transportation because they can't afford a car, but they need to get to work. And can we ask more money from those people?
And that's where we get to the equity and accessibility issue, among other issues that we're taking a look at. Look, we want to provide opportunity for everybody, and we want to provide access for everyone. And that means those on limited income. And so we want to make sure that they can get to jobs, that they can earn a living, that they can go about their daily lives. We know many of them, because of how Philadelphia has changed now, have to live farther from their place of employment. You know, we're not looking at a Philadelphia that existed, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, where people lived closer to where they worked. And that's why SEPTA is so important. And we have to have those discussions, again, tied to our funding, tied to what we can do. But that will definitely be considered in our decision-making process.
I mean, regional rail, I would assume, is more expensive just because you're talking about laying tracks and running trains. But does it raise a question about whether bus riders in the city are, in a sense, carrying the load for regional rail riders?
It is a network, but obviously regional rail services, you know, different. It's, you know, your coverage issues versus your frequency issues. And often your bus network gives you both, gives you that flexibility, right? You have your fixed routes, but then you can also tweak them to see where's the coverage area. Obviously, changing a bus route, extending a bus route is a lot cheaper than laying down, as you've just mentioned, tracks and getting that done. But you also want to look at the frequency, right? Optimally in a system, if you can offer 10-minute rides, you know, sometimes 15, but, you know, you want to make them as close so people don't have to think about it. Ideally, you want people to say, you know, I took the subway here. I don't think about when I'm going to the subway because I know no matter what, I'm not going to have to wait a very long time. So it doesn't really matter. And whenever you can do that, you can't do that through your whole system. But in areas and well-traveled corridors in your system where you can do that, you want to be able to do that as much as you can. So we're going to be taking a look at where we can do that. But also we want to make sure that we provide coverage as much as we can. So those are always the conflicting interests when you're looking at transit, when you're looking at a redesign of how do you balance that.
Well, let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. That's Leslie Richards. She's the new general manager of SEPTA. That's the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, carrying riders around the region. And we have much more to talk about after this very short break. We had a lot of questions and comments from our listeners as well. So do stay with us. We'll be talking about SEPTA Key. We'll be talking about ridership and much more after this very short break. Do stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe, talking with Leslie Richards. She's the brand new general manager for SEPTA, joining us on Radio Times to talk about some of her ideas and plans to create a better transit system here in the Philadelphia region. And let me read a couple of comments. One from Julius. He wants to know, why was the AB service stopped on the Frankfurt Market line? Why is this line so busy?
So the AB service really concentrated on the part of the line that goes from Center City out to Frankfurt area. And as a lot of us know, you know, when you think of Northern Liberties, Fishtown, all of those areas of how they've been developed, we had done the AB service where we were skipping certain stops, helping to distribute how people accessed the network. But now with so many more people living in areas where they didn't live when that decision was made, made more sense so that people don't have to worry, is this an A stop? Is this a B stop? And so that everybody, again, it comes down to frequency. They know that they can count on a subway coming within a short amount of time. They don't have to think about it. And we think that it's going to be able to carry more people, get them where they go. That line's often called our workhorse line because it carries so many people. And so we think it'll function better for the system and for those people who need it.
A question from Bradley. When will the MFL, BSL, and trolleys have signage to tell riders how long the wait is for the next train? I've been in other cities where you do see in 2 minutes your train is going to arrive.
Yes, I've heard that question. I've only been here about 4 weeks, but that's not the first time I've heard that question. And we are working toward it. I am gathering the data right now to see what are the obstacles in implementing that. Obviously, getting that real-time data is an IT issue as well as a technical issue. So I just have to see where our system is. I've mentioned we're dealing with a legacy system here. Mm-hmm. And while I would like to say everything talks to each other, databases talk to each other. A lot of the system was created before computers existed, before we had this data, and we're still relying on you know, as we turn it over and modernize, and so just have to figure out again. But I know that would be a valued service, and I know how I feel when I know when the next train is coming, as opposed to when I'm in other cities and I don't know, and you're just sitting there and waiting. The wait seems a lot longer even when it isn't, and a wait can seem shorter when you know when the next one is coming. So it's definitely technology that we want to bring to the system. We're just figuring out how soon we can do that.
Customer service is so important, whether you're at a retail store, whether you're using public transportation. Patty says, I've learned through experience that it's worse than useless to contact anyone in SEPTA when there are problems. She goes on to say, I don't believe that anyone in SEPTA management is interested in improving service for riders. I mean, that's got to hurt.
Yeah. First of all, I apologize she feels that way. I care, and I know that our senior management cares. I have personally seen our social media room where we provide immediate responses to tweets. We provide immediate responses to certain mechanisms where we hear from our customers. You know, I'd be interested in how she's trying to correspond to us.
It's got to be easy and direct so people do feel heard.
Absolutely. It's a big part of the customer experience, and we work very hard on it. So we want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to tell us how they feel and receives a response. I can say, I know this, you know, for sure that I get reports every morning of the hundreds of comments that we get and the responses and how they get closed out. So I'm sorry that her comments perhaps have fallen through the cracks, and I would invite her to email me directly, lrichards@septa.org, and I'll make sure that someone is listening and she gets a response.
So you're saying there's a new sheriff in town?
There is. Look, it's a priority for me, but I will say it's been a priority of SEPTA's for quite some time. They have been nationally recognized, and other transit agencies are copying with the real-time response that we've been able to get. A lot of it is through our SEPTA social accounts, which was truly a national model and still is. But we want to be better, and we want to respond to everybody. And we know that different generations prefer to be responded to in different ways. And so we want to make sure that we are responding well from our youngest riders to our more seasoned riders. And so we want to make sure that we are reaching them. So all of this feedback is useful.
Ridership is down, not precipitously, but it's down, has been down in the last couple of years. And it seems that it's bus ridership that is down, as I understand it. You're nodding your head. What can you do then to bring people back into the system and obviously to bring newbies into the system as well?
Sure. So, look, we're taking a look at a comprehensive bus network redesign right now. And we're taking a look at where are the ridership, you know, it's been increasing in some areas, it's been decreasing in some areas. Overall, you are correct. So we have to take that into mind. A lot of these bus networks were designed when people work 9 to 5, and we know that that's not the case anymore. We know that people getting out beyond our peak times is more important now. People are running errands during the day, particularly, you know, single parents who have to run out and you maybe pick up something for dinner, you know, while they're at work so they can be ready when they get home with their families. And so that typical 9 to 5 model is not something mm-hmm. that is current with our workforce right now. Flexibility, people working from home on certain days of the week. Weekday ridership is different than weekend ridership. And again, when a lot of these networks were looked at, weekday was much higher than weekend. But now we're seeing some more volumes on weekends when people are coming into the city. Look, Philadelphia has truly changed over the last decade. And people are coming in and spending their weekend hours here as well. And so we want to make sure that they can get here with transit. So we'll be looking at all of those things.
How much is congestion in Philadelphia and specifically in Center City, Philadelphia, making it hard for literally buses to get from point A to point B? And I'm thinking about how much are things like Uber and even, I don't know, taxis, but it seems like Uber seems to be the system that people mostly complain about when it comes to congestion.
Yeah, the services like Uber and Lyft that are quite robust here in this area have definitely changed our traffic modeling. And we now see, you know, people are circling, right, waiting for their rides. And while we had that in the cab industry, we didn't have it at quite the volume that we have it now. And we also see that the demand for curb space is changing. This is a new topic in transportation discussions. Particularly in cities, I'm watching closely what's happening in D.C., where they're piloting a program using a private entity to manage their curb space. So who gets the curb space? Is it people traveling on bicycle, people who are walking? Is it the Ubers and the Lyfts of the world? Is it transit? It is a lot of people. Is it businesses that need deliveries, right? All of these things are happening on our urban streets. And it's really changing the way people need parking and where is parking located. It's changing land use patterns. And so this is something that's very new. I'm often quoted as saying it's a very exciting time to be in transportation. I know I'm biased, but it is a very exciting time. There are new modes coming on board at all times. There's new options. And I would say a lot of those options make transit more usable and more attractive to certain people. I know when I was a working parent, mm-hmm. one of the things I would think of when I would use transit or my car is like, how flexible do I need to be today? Is my kid not feeling well today? And might I have to leave early? If I had certain options that exist today, such as Uber and Lyft and others, I would be more inclined to use transit because that they would give me the flexibility. So we're looking in the data and we're seeing how people utilize and how those types of other options can increase access to transit. And in some ways, we know that it also decreases how people use transit. And so we're fully understanding those numbers.
Sure. I mean, congestion is a huge issue with many tentacles attached to it. Here's a question from Nat. I'm an organizer with the Philadelphia Transit Riders Union. There seems to be an increase of transit police at SEPTA stations recently. Can you promise that we won't end up like New York, where people have been tased by police over the cost of subway fares?
So our transit police are a vital part of our organization. And we want to make sure that everyone feels safe taking our system. And as in any urban area, and I'm sure you have covered and people have read in the news, we have obviously mental illness issues that, you know, everyone's dealing with. This is not just a Philadelphia problem. We have people experiencing homelessness and congregating near our facilities gives them a shelter. And we have to figure out, you know, if we can help and work with other organizations, getting them into our own, you know, Hub of Hope that we've helped and partnered with others, getting them the services that they need. And we want people to feel safe at all different times of the day. Our service also, I have to say, it's not a free service. And there are many people who get on and they don't expect to pay. And so we need to figure out the best way. First of all, it's not fair to our paying customers. And at this time, we cannot provide the service for free. And so we have to take a look at that as well. I can tell you honestly, I am not a big fan of what New York is doing right now with the larger police presence. I think that we have other options. But I don't want to speak too soon because we're all watching, obviously, the results of what they're doing right now, and we'll see the lessons learned. But we're looking at other options here right now to help us with a variety of issues.
And that's Leslie Richards. She's our guest on Radio Times today. She's also the brand new general manager of SEPTA. That's the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority that transports about 1 million people on a workday around the region to get to work and get to school and get to the doctor's office. And you can join our conversation again, Radio Times at WHYY.org. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, and you can call us at 1-888-477-9499. We have lots more comments, and I do want to get to that, but I do want to talk about SEPTA Key. The rollout, shall we say, was rocky. And it's now costing more, I believe, than had been originally thought, to the tune of millions of dollars. And it's sort of silly to waste time talking about, with the advantage of hindsight, you know, what could be done better. But is SEPTA in a position now to actually make the system better and make it work for riders and also for SEPTA itself?
Yeah, look, SEPTA Key is going to give us options and flexibility and ways to modernize our system that the old token and paper ticket, fare system just would not be able to do. It was a rocky rollout, but I will say it was expected, right?
Really?
These things are never easy. You're changing an entire way of how people use a system, and they've been used to using a system. And, you know, people I heard over, we love our tokens, right? We don't want to give up our tokens. I always had tokens. But this is going to allow us to look at other options once it's fully implemented. I think SEPTA's done a great job before I came along of making sure that there are humans that you can ask questions to, you know.
These ambassadors, right?
All the ambassadors. And regardless of what mode I'm on, whether I'm on the trolley system, the subway system, a bus, or regional rail, there's always a person. There's always someone I can ask, and they're always very helpful. So I think they've done a great job where people don't feel stranded or frustrated. But it is a whole different way. Yeah. I have now started, I have to tap on my way out. I come in on to Jefferson Station every day. And so that allows me, because it's also how our fare system on the regional rail. You tap on, you tap off. There's different prices depending on where you get on, where you get off. Today, I took the subway here. I only had to tap on the way on because it is a standard fare, no matter how far you go on that subway system. So that's giving us some flexibility. It's going to allow people to get on faster and get off faster. And so it's going to allow us to provide more frequent and faster service in certain areas. It's going to allow us possibly, I'm not saying we're going to do this, but at some time in the future, SEPTA may want to consider charging different fares at different times of the day, right? Yeah. And they can do it. We already do it on some peak hour, you know, service, but we might be able to do it more, and it would give us more flexibility to do that. We already know that it's a challenge for many people we mentioned before who live in our poorer areas to front the cost where they might get discounted service, right? So some people, not a big deal to pay for the larger price tag of a monthly pass where they get a discount on each ride, but some people are living day to day and they can't front that cost. So for instance, SEPTA may consider at some time, if you take so many rides a month and it equals what that monthly discounted price would be, then the rest of your rides for the month would be free, because we don't want to see you paying any more than what somebody who is a monthly rider would pay. Again, we have to look at the numbers and see, you know, how that would impact SEPTA, but we would not have had those types of options if we had kept the old system.
And the idea is in the future is to essentially go cashless, I mean, and ticketless and tokenless, right?
At full implementation, and to be honest, the full implementation can change at times, right? We are going to be very responsive to how people use our system. And so I don't know if we're ever going to get to the ideal full implementation, because we're going to change it as we go along again. And we're going to see through rider feedback, you know, what is the best system for now.
You are, though, SEPTA is replacing the card readers, right? I mean, in certain ways to keep up with security and keep up with just sort of, bank standards that might have changed over time.
Yeah, we're looking to modernize, all of our IT systems and how, how we collect fares. And again, we are trying to make our system as welcoming as possible. And this is all part of it. If you go, again, I mentioned our sister agencies, they all have systems where you pay with a fare card. And so that is where all transit systems are moving, because it's good for business. It's good for the bottom line. It's going to allow us to, be as efficient on the fiscal side as well as serving our ridership. And so it's truly the way we should be investing. But as you've mentioned, it's it can be painful, just like a construction project. We're delivering a more modernized transportation system, but we're asking people to please be patient and to bear the burden a little bit with us, and there will be a bit of pain until we can deliver that system more seamlessly.
Seniors ride for free in the SEPTA system, and I know some cities are looking at free transit for everybody. Is that even on the table?
So we are watching. There are two cities in particular that have announced the free system. They're very different than Philadelphia. They're smaller cities. They mainly have bus service, not a lot of rail. So there's a lot of things that aren't comparable, but we know that there'll be lessons learned, and we're trying to see what type of ridership numbers. Is it increasing ridership for those where paying for transit is a challenge? Is it increasing ridership for those who have other options? For instance, people who own cars versus people who don't own cars or are unable to afford a car. And so we'll be looking at that. It is part of the discussion. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what the future of transit holds. There are people, and I have not made my own opinion yet, but there are people who feel that all transit will be free at some point.
Well, now, whether like public education, I guess.
Yes, yes. And so whether that'll be in 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, nobody's put a time limit on it, but people do feel that that could be the future of transit.
And that is Leslie Richards. She's the new general manager for SEPTA. She's the former PennDOT secretary. She also headed up chair of the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission. I knew I had it somewhere. And we are talking about her ideas for the public transportation system here in the Philadelphia area. Lots more comments and lots more to talk about after this very short break. Do stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, talking with Leslie Richards about how to bring the region's transit system up to speed, up to date, and how to create a frankly more equitable and user-friendly transportation system for the Philadelphia region. Let me read a couple of more comments here. A Facebook comment from Joseph: how soon can we expect to see regional rail service extended further out in Chester County to Parkersburg or Royersford, for example? I'd be interested in your answer to that, but I do want to talk about the King of Prussia area. I know that's at least on paper an idea.
Mm-hmm. So as far as capacity adding projects on our regional rail, there's a lot of momentum behind the King of Prussia rail expansion, right? That already has started. We're already, around 15% design. We're already talking to, I was in D.C. yesterday, figuring out what grant opportunities in order to fund this all the way through. Those are conversations that you start now, even if you're not going to apply for the grant for another year or so, because you want to get on people's radars and let them know what's happening. King of Prussia is a very fast-growing, not just in this area, but I would say in the Commonwealth, if not the fastest, one of the fastest-growing areas. Very important to employers there, very important for people who work there, and in order to get transit out there. And it will really help anyone who has driven out to the King of Prussia Mall, the new CHOP who's out there, the medical center that is out there. You can sit in traffic for quite some time.
Yeah, and there's there are lots of roadways, highways, all intersecting.
Absolutely. So the turnpike goes in there, and then to travel 76, which is one of the most congested corridors, again, not just in this region, but in the country. You don't know if it's going to take you, 40 minutes to get from King of Prussia to Philadelphia, or it's going to take you 2 hours. And one day at 3 o'clock, it could take you a half an hour, and one day at 3 o'clock, the next day, it could take you 2.5 hours. So it's very unreliable. And so we want to make sure that people can have a reliable way. And that's obviously what transit can provide, particularly when it's provided on rail.
And so what's the price tag for?
We're taking a look at that.
Yeah, what's the price tag?
It's expensive.
Are we talking billions?
We're looking, I believe so. Again, I haven't looked at all of the details of all the different options that are being considered. I was very active and part of this project early on, but while I was in Harrisburg, was a little bit removed from it. So I'm not sure exactly which alignments have been chosen, where we're going with it, but I think it's going to be over $1 billion. It's a big project.
Sure.
It's a big project. But it will change our network here and how people get around this area in big ways as well. So well worth the investment. And so we'll work on that on the funding side as well as the design side.
A question from Maureen. Are there any plans to improve existing rail services? The trains often break down and are overcrowded, especially on outbound service during rush hour.
So look, we're taking a look at that. Again, our lines are different. Some of them run purely on Amtrak-owned lines, which are some issues and challenges out of our control. I understand to a rider, they don't care.
Right.
They don't care why we don't have control of certain things. They just need to get to where they're going. But that's the extra challenge where we have to operate in areas where we don't have the first right of way there. And so that makes it extra challenging. So when Amtrak has a problem, guess what? Has a problem. We obviously want to increase and provide modernized cars. We're looking at that right now. That was one of the priorities that the board challenged me with when I was interviewing for this job, as well as when I came on board. We want to make sure that we have modern cars that don't break down as often, that have long lifespan. And on certain lines, we're looking at double-decker cars, right?
Why
they wouldn't be, it's not like a double-decker bus that would add twice the vertical height. But anybody who's, I know that I've been on them on New Jersey Transit and others, they can offer double the seating because you have an upper level and a lower level. And that's one of the reasons, one of the ways we'll look at adding capacity.
Let me ask you, I was reading about a Chinese firm that has been manufacturing some of these new rail cars, allegedly, reportedly using mica that comes from child labor, and that SEPTA was investigating this. Can you get us up to speed on that, or what more do we need to know?
I also need to be briefed on it, but obviously it's something that we would be concerned about, right? We need to look at the best cars and the best prices that are available to us, but obviously we want to make sure that where we're investing makes sense to invest, and if child labor is an issue or other issues that do not feel right, and I can tell you that doesn't feel right, we're going to look into it and see, and we want to make sure. A lot of things get discussed, and we want to make sure they're facts as well.
Well, just a follow-up question. You, for a while, even before you came to SEPTA, have been interested in human trafficking and how that intersects with transportation. Frankly, something I hadn't spent a lot of time thinking about, but you've been awarded some honors for your work to train employees to be on the lookout for signs of human trafficking.
Absolutely. I've always been interested in seeing how transportation can solve some other issues, right? It's not just getting people from point A to point B. And human trafficking is one of these huge problems that we all have to work toward. Unfortunately, and when I heard this statistic, well, not statistic, this fact is human traffickers often look at the best way to move their victims. And Pennsylvania's transportation system is one of the best. It's our interstate system. It's how people can access our limited access highways. It's our transit system. SEPTA is part of that. And so I've worked my entire life to improve this system. And now this system is one of the reasons why traffickers can move easily in our Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. And so I felt very strongly that we should do everything that we can. So we partnered when I was in Harrisburg. We partnered with Truckers Against Trafficking. We partnered with the Villanova Law Center, which runs an excellent national program on sexual exploitation. And we've really enjoyed that partnership. And we partnered with our transit agencies. SEPTA is one of them. So we have training. We have educational awareness. All of our frontline operators have been trained to look for the signs. There are signs that you can see. And actually, yesterday I was in D.C. for a national human trafficking event that was sponsored by the Office of Transportation, U.S. Department of Transportation. And SEPTA was highlighted. And I got to bring one of our bus operators that, through her vigilance and her awareness, prevented an abduction from happening.
On her bus?
On her bus. I can go into the details of that story if you'd like to hear it quickly. What happened was two 14-year-old female students. One got on the bus, and the bus driver noticed that she, you know, kept looking behind her and was hanging around the door. And the bus driver said, you know, look, we need to move the bus. Please sit down. And as soon as the bus started to move, the student told the bus driver, I was with a friend, and she didn't get on the bus. And so the bus driver stopped the bus and went out to see what was happening and got the student back on the bus. We didn't find out until the next day that a stranger had gone to the bus stop, started talking to this 14-year-old female students, and when the bus came, held one of the girls back and did not allow her
Terrifying.
To get on the bus.
Terrifying.
So thank goodness her friend spoke up. Thank goodness our bus driver, who had received human trafficking training that month, by the way, had the wherewithal. I will say that this bus driver, it's just who she is. And, you know, we're very lucky. Many of our bus drivers, they want to do the right thing and make sure, you know, that they are making, you know, sure that everyone is safe and doing their jobs. But she went off and she made sure that girl got on her bus safely. We don't know what would have happened, but most likely something not good.
Yeah.
And so now, thank goodness, this young student did not have a traumatic event. And our bus operators are on the front lines to see that. So we were able to acknowledge what she did. Our bus operators are very humble. And you know, the first thing she said to me is, you know, I have many colleagues who would have done the same thing. And so they're not there to brag about what they're doing, but I think it's important for us to talk about it and how we partner with our community. But it's also that we need the help of our riders, of our customers, right? You see something, you say something. And we need everybody working together along with our law enforcement to make sure that we can raise awareness and protect those victims of human trafficking.
That's a very powerful story and something I think we should all think about, especially if we use the system. Let me just raise something else completely unrelated to that, but involving law enforcement. There's a federal investigation into embezzlement at SEPTA. Several managers under a cloud reportedly fabricated fake invoices, apparently even used the company credit card, but nonetheless cost SEPTA hundreds of thousands of dollars. What's the status of that? And where was the watchdog? Where were the supervisors that could have derailed this operation?
So it's a current FBI investigation, and I don't have the results of that investigation. But obviously, I was aware of it before taking this job, and on my first day was briefed on everything we know. I can tell you, as soon as we were made aware of it, changes occurred immediately. So we know that these types of activities can no longer happen at SEPTA, and I feel very confident that those changes in our protocols, how people sign off on things, who gets reported, where the oversight is. There were some gaps, and I would say people taking advantage of the system, right? They definitely, it appears, again, it's right. Under investigation, but people who participate in fraudulent activity often have bad intentions, and it appears that may be the case here. Again, I have to be careful because it's an ongoing investigation. I'm eager to get the results of that investigation and make sure that we do anything that we need to do to further make sure that our system is protected and we prevent any further fraudulence.
Let me ask you about the promotion of the man who headed up that that department that's under investigation. You promoted him. Why? And if there wasn't the kind of supervision there, does he hold some responsibility for this? This is Robert Lund.
Right. Look, this is a large organization. We have over 9,600 employees. Look, I'm not saying, you know, the buck stops at me, right? The buck stops at the general manager. And I have full confidence in Bob Lund's ability. One of the reasons
And we should say he has not been charged.
He has not. Like there's nothing that ties anything to his service, to his responsibilities. One of the reasons that we are out in front on so many things is because of Bob Lund's work, right? We have Positive Train Control, the first transit agency east of the Mississippi to implement this. We have great safety records. We're able to provide a million trips a day. A lot of that is largely due to his work, and he's been working at SEPTA for a long time. We did identify what went wrong, and it was supervisory responsibilities well below Bob's, level. But we have fixed that now. And so there will be other oversight and it will come straight up. But the way it was organized before, there was no way, and that was a problem. There was no way that it would have risen to his level. Again, that's changed. So that will not happen anymore. But I can't say it enough that I have full confidence in having Bob Lund in our senior engineering role at SEPTA. And I think we're very lucky to have him and have his expertise.
Let me see how many more comments from our listeners. An email from Natalie. I ride the bus every day, and often the bus has a bus wrap advertisement that covers the entire bus, including the windows. She's complaining that she can't see out of the windows when there's a bus wrap.
Well, this is the first time I'm hearing that comment, so I will definitely take that back. But please understand that we need to look at any innovative revenue source that we can get. And we don't want to rely on taxpayer money, and so we're always looking outside of the box. Just this week, we announced new naming rights of a station that'll bring in millions of dollars. And also, we bring in quite a significant amount of money on advertising. And so if a company wants to pay, and we like this partnership. This is favorable for SEPTA. Our buses are seen by a lot of people, right? It is a moving billboard, And if people want to advertise on our buses, and it's an advertisement, obviously, for something that we're mutually agree upon, we are happy to have them pay and use that space. Obviously, we can provide a lot more room than a bumper sticker, right? And it's a wonderful partnership. Again, it allows us to bring in revenues, not relying on taxpayer money, and revenues that we can rely on so that we can improve our system for everyone. I do like to look out the window while I'm traveling transit, so I'll take a look at that as well. But I can understand why someone might be frustrated that they can't see the neighborhoods where they're driving.
I'm looking at the clock. Unfortunately, we cannot get to the rest of our commenters here, but I'm also thinking about how weather can just derail the best. You could have the best system in the world. And if you've got sea level rise or you've got a terrible storm coming in, and we've had some of those problems here in the Philadelphia region, then things are just – they just fall apart.
Absolutely. Look, there are things outside of our control, and weather is probably number one. And so we know that icy conditions, it might look nice outside, but icy conditions can be on our rails and cause slippery rails. There can be wet leaves on the road that cause our buses to have to drive a little slower. Safety's always at the forefront of everything we do. And if we need to drive a little slower to protect the safety of our riders, we will do so. I can't emphasize enough that transit is safer than driving. Taking rail is 18 times safer than being in a vehicle, and taking any mode in transit is over 10 times safer. And so truly, we are saving lives by increasing more people to take transit, and we have to make sure that people get where they're going safely. So in weather conditions, people rely on transit more. because they don't want to drive. I'm very thankful for that because it is safer and we realize that. But we also have to adjust and we need the public to be patient that we want them to get there safely. Everyone deserves to get home safely at the end of the day. And please, you know, be patient with us and allow us to provide that service so that that can happen. But know that under, you know, unusual and extreme weather that we're seeing more and more of, right? Flooding instances and I don't even know what a snow squall was a little while ago, and now it seems like every weather event we get gets bands of snow with whiteout. So we need to adjust how we provide service.
And we need to leave it there. Leslie Richards, thank you for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And she's the new head of SEPTA, the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority. We appreciate all those comments to Radio Times. You can carry on the conversation on our Facebook page. I'm Artie Moss-Cohen. Thank you so much for joining us.